The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Crack House Chronicles, your favorite true crime podcast. I am Donnie, and with me is a man who only needs 10 more subscribers on OnlyFans, and then he can buy a dozen eggs. It's Dale.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Yeah, I got a cure for that. We got my new photo of my toes in a bowl of ice cream, and I think that'll put me over the top.
Dude, I don't want any more ice cream for a while.
I'll put syrup on it or something. How about that?
I don't want any more syrup now. Okay, I'm done with food. I'm done with everything.
See me for more dietary tips.
What's going on, dude?
What's happening, man?
I'm just glad to be here, man.
Yeah, man, having a blast, aren't we?
Having a ball.
On this National Missing Persons Day?
Yeah.
It is a good day.
Yeah, we recording on a Friday.
Yeah.
We got something special going on today.
Man, this is going to be fun.
Yep. You got any good things do you want to mention or shout-outs?
Yeah, speaking of Missing Persons Day, and you should agree who we put on our thing. We want to give our buddy Ricky Oaks a shout out for kind of pushing our show on somebody else's podcast feed, but kind of stepping on our toes. But I appreciate you sending them our way, because we try to do a lot for H Degree, and you know, that being so local, man, we'd love to solve that thing. And
yeah,
that's something that's really close to our heart about, you know, her and her family and what's going on with that. It's been too long. What, 23 years
is February. Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a week or 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And also like to give a shout out to our buddy Chris Wayne and Cran. Thanks for the PayPal donation. You are going above and beyond, and we appreciate everything you do, man.
Yep. Chris is on our Patreon also.
Yes, he is.
He helps us out there, and he also went to PayPal and left us a donation.
Do we have his address, man? I'm going to send him something.
Cool. I do have his address.
All right. Give it to me before I leave. I'm going to hook him up.
No, I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Yep. And if anybody wants to be like Chris and go to PayPal and leave us some gas money or scratch off money like Chris did, you can.
Yeah, man. That was awesome. That was awesome.
And if you don't want to make a donation, you can also go to Apple Podcast and leave a rate and review. That helps us out a whole bunch.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Just make sure you put something in the box, as you know, and we say every week.
Yep.
If it ain't in the box, we don't know about it.
That's right. And it helps cause.
That's right.
Yep. Other than that, we are going to get going, dude, because we got an interesting episode.
I'm excited, man. This is going to be a good time.
Yep. Today we have a special guest. We're going to be talking about several different things. We're going to be talking about the Idaho murders, Delphi murders.
A little bit more current stuff than we've been on, yeah.
Yeah. And this is a little experiment we're going to try to do, and maybe something we want to do in the future.
Yeah.
But we want to welcome Enmeshed Podcast. They are a podcast here in North Carolina. They're just up the road from us, about an hour and a half away from us. And they do true crime just like we do. And we are so glad to have them on the show today. We're going to talk about some current events, talk about some cases that are in the news, and give our perspective and what we think about it, and go from there.
Cool. Sounds like a good time, a good spin, and something different than we usually do. So I'm really thrilled to do it.
All right. We want to welcome Enmeshed to the podcast. We have Amanda and Pam. Welcome, ladies.
What's up, guys?
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We are excited to do this today. Thank you.
We are more excited because this is something I've been throwing around with Dale back and forth, you know, maybe doing some current events along with our other stories, because we like to cover stories that are, you know, either closed or missing persons that have been out of the news for a while. But this is something a little bit different that's in the news, and maybe something we want to continue doing later on.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. We like to do closed cases as well. Or we have a little bit of a summertime gap where we'll do a few Enmeshed Unsolved. But like you said, we'll go kind of back in time, because we don't want to step on anybody's toes during an investigation.
Well, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Go ahead.
All right. Well, it's called Enmeshed. And a lot of people say, what is that? Well, it's actually kind of a psychology term of unhealthy family relationships. And we like to cover stories that involve either two brothers committing, like the Menendez brothers committing a crime, or we've got three siblings robbing banks. Anything that involves family, cousins, mm-hmm. that, you know, there has to be one person that gets the other person to do this along with them. Okay. And we kind of cover why is that, where does this come from, and how it ended up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we have stories where the family members commit crimes together, and we also have stories where a family member or more commits the crime against another family member.
Yeah.
So a lot of variety, but within the family tree.
Exactly. Hey, are you guys watching Piketon Massacre trial right now?
Have not. I've seen where it was on, but I hadn't really paid much attention to it. I've sort of been involved with the murder trials and just sort of.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to come up with Enmeshed? Whose brainchild was that?
That was mine, the mom.
Okay.
Only because I may or may not have been through some therapy in my life, and that term has come up, and I'm like, wow, I just love the word enmeshment and have used it and thought it would be different than, you know, all the other female teams who are kind of coffee and wine and such. So
yeah,
went for it.
I think it's a lot better, actually.
Well, y'all got a good thing going on, and I do listen to your episodes. I may not listen to them the day they drop, but I do check them out when I get a chance. And y'all do a really, really good job. It's very professional and structured, and I enjoy listening to it.
Thank you. Same to you. I really enjoy your episodes and the camaraderie you have between the two of you.
Well, we've got a good thing going. It's a lot better than what I had in the beginning. So it's like, yeah, light years ahead of what I used to have. So this is great.
Yeah. Well, we go way back.
Yeah.
Way, way, way.
So we get each other. So yeah. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
we go way back too.
We're good.
Of course y'all do. I know y'all do. Mother and daughter, yeah.
All the way back.
Yeah.
But we are not. The funny thing is, we are not enmeshed at all. So, therefore, we're experts.
Okay.
Sweet.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. And Amanda has a brother as well. We're trying to get him on the podcast. So, well, maybe one day, but not today.
Well, just enmesh everybody then.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Idaho murders. This is a very current case that's going on in the news right now. Brian Koberger has been arrested for these four homicides of Dale. What were their names?
Zena, Ethan, Maddie, and Kaylee.
Yeah. These four students from Idaho were brutally slain in their home that they were staying at there on campus of University of Idaho.
Right.
And this is, I can't get past, you know, everything in the news about him stalking the house, you know, going there maybe 12 times,
yeah,
hanging out, his phone being pinged there at that location 12 times, and then going back and committing these murders. It just blows my mind that somebody would do something this horrendous to these four students.
Do you think he's guilty?
I do.
I think they've got a lot of strong evidence on him.
Right.
I think if the knife sheath that they took from the house that was left behind, I think if that hadn't been left behind, he may not have been arrested. I think that's pretty damning.
I think the car evidence is what got him, you know.
Later on.
When he seen the car, and then they followed the car all the way back to where he lived, and then they knew exactly where the car went, and then when it came back by.
Yeah.
That's a lot of...
That's exactly that way.
It's a lot of not coincidence.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Well, exactly. I think there's a lot out there. You know, people get on Reddit and, of course, on all the social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's evidence that he actually was, like, they both worked at a restaurant bar. There's no evidence that he was actually there, but there is evidence that he was on their Instagrams.
Yeah, he was.
Kind of stalking them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that he was ever in that house, maybe at a party at some point?
And that's a good question.
I think it's possible because I was watching a special the other night. I don't remember if it was the 2020. What was it? When was it? Dateline. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the parties that went on in the house. And is that actually, you know, talking about how many times the cops were called because of loud noise. And once they went there and there was a house full of people and no one in the house lived there. So wow. I think it's very possible that he was. I don't know that.
I think it's sure, possible. But, yeah. Yeah. I think there was definitely a lack of boundaries there in that house, but it's college and they're partying. And
yeah.
So do you think he's killed before since he's from Pennsylvania?
That is a very good question.
Sure is.
I mean, who starts out committing four murders at one time?
It's pretty ballsy to go in a house with six people in it
yeah.
and just start stabbing.
Yeah.
Now, whether he knew that and he knew six people were in the house, I don't know. But yeah, it's a... I don't know. It's you don't go from nothing to four, you know.
Yeah,
I don't. Right. I don't think.
I think he's committed some crime.
It was a little sloppy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing that kind of makes you go, hey, I don't know, you know. But you know, I think he probably went in and till when he saw whoever he was after, he took that sheath off and just dropped it, and then didn't think about it. I mean, make sure he took the knife, agree. But he didn't think about it because the way, from what I understand, the sheath was kind of underneath or right beside one of the victims, either Maddie or Kaylee. I don't remember which one, but so maybe it got rolled up a little bit. And then when it was out of sight, he didn't think about it because by then he was already thinking that he has to go down the hall and do what he's got to do.
Yeah, and thinking about getting, I got to get the heck out of Dodge too.
Yeah.
Exactly, especially when there were two other roommates.
That's why I asked if I thought maybe he'd been in the house before to be able to commit this crime in such a short period of time.
To know the layout.
The layout and to...
Whose rooms were.
Yeah, and to get it done and get out.
Well, plus they said that Maddie had a big M, you know, and a pair of pink cowboy boots and her window from outside, so you'd know exactly where her room was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, you know, they said they thought that if he was stalking anybody, it was Kaylee, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
When I looked at the crime scene photos, their house to me was not, there was nothing distinct to me about it. It was just kind of mixed in with a few other houses in that area. So it's just, it would be weird to me if that was a random thing.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't stick out.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it was random.
Mm-mm.
No, especially with what he was studying in college and... You know, he knew what he was doing.
That damn survey he put out was crazy. I was like, what the
Absolutely.
Hell?
Crazy. And I think I actually loved how the police department withheld information because everyone was, you know, like, we need to catch them and all the speculation. But really, I think that they pretty much had him almost the whole time once they got that Hyundai. And, you know, in Idaho, you have to have a license plate on the front and the back of a car.
Yep.
Yep.
In Pennsylvania, you don't. And his car, you know, with that they saw through that footage there,
mm-hmm.
yep.
only had a back license plate. And I guess it just, the evidence just kept mounting and they got him.
Yeah, I think so too. I thought they did a hell of a job because, you know, like I said, I wasn't really deep dived into this before, but this week I've really been cramming on a lot of this and I'm like, wow, these guys done a hell of a job, even though everyone was talking them down about they didn't know what they were doing and we can't handle this and we're just too small to be doing this kind of investigation. And mm-hmm. behind the scenes, they got this guy within no time, really. As soon as they found the car, I mean, they backed over to Washington and back and then all the way to his house, 2,500 miles away.
Yeah.
Sitting outside, watching him come outside at 4 o'clock in the morning, throwing trash in his neighbor's house. Yeah, they knew. They were smart. They were smart not to say nothing.
Well, let me throw this question at you ladies. Do you think perhaps Brian's father knew he had done this? Committed this crime?
Yes.
You think he might have known?
Yes.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't see how he wouldn't know. I mean, this is,
right.
This was right before what, Thanksgiving, him going back to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. He flew out and they drove the car back.
Yeah.
2,500 miles.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
And people were saying that Brian's demeanor had changed after the murders. So there had to be something noticeable.
Hmm.
And that's where we get into our meshed, like, whenever a family member covers for another family member, you know, just that whole relationship of what would you do?
Yeah,
right.
This
why was your son.
This is why I posed this question to you guys. What if you thought maybe the father or even Brian's mother might have known he'd committed this crime? And plus him cleaning the car up in the middle of the night, taking the trash out, putting it in the neighbor's bin.
Right.
You know.
Now, it's said that he has OCD, but I think that's a little extreme even for somebody with OCD.
Yeah.
To be doing that in the middle of the night.
Yeah. That's why I was thinking maybe, you know, what, you know, doing it in the middle of the night, he's trying to hide it from his parents too, I would think.
Maybe.
I don't know.
They had to know something, you know. If you look back into his background, he was a chubby kid who was constantly made fun of.
Yeah, he was picked on.
So he picked on. People want to try to say he's an incel now, which I'm not really buying that. I don't think he's bad looking or anything that he couldn't actually go on a date, you know, and have a relationship. But I don't know. I think the motivation must have been she rejected him or somebody that he could never get on his own. I know he took heroin in order to lose that weight. And I mean, obviously he's intelligent if he's made it through that many levels of criminal justice.
Yeah. Right. In the PhD program. That's for sure.
Right. Exactly. In the PhD program.
So. Yeah. So it just blows my mind. The stalking aspect of it, you know, scoping these girls out. I don't know if anyone in particular was targeted. Dale and I have talked about this. You know, he could have been rejected by one of them at that vegan restaurant that they worked at.
Right.
And
or on Instagram, I think he was constantly sending them messages.
Yeah. But if, I don't know, you know, sometimes Instagram messages will go to that little folder that's like a
request.
Yeah, request folder.
Yes.
And you don't see them. And I mean, we get them too, and I don't see them.
Right.
And people say, they don't answer my message, but, you know, we really don't see them.
Right.
So I kind of get that in a way.
You know, it's true. You know, I heard today where he's talking about where he had went into some bar somewhere and had been kind of being rude to some of the waitresses and stuff after having a couple of beers. So it's definitely where he could go in and just say, you know, he just says whatever he wants to say. And then, you know, if he said it to these girls, they didn't look like the kind of girls that was just going to let somebody talk to him like that, you know. They would probably kind of put him in his place, and that would definitely set him off, I would think, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he's already looking to be over everybody, you know, he's tired of being bullied, it's his turn.
What all have they released on this guy that they have? Just the knife sheath and the phone data? Is that
the phone and, of course, the car. The car.
Yeah,
right, the car. One. And some people are saying, oh, he was framed, but I absolutely believe it was him, especially with everything they found from, like you said, the survey.
Yeah.
And just his background and being weird and all of that. What I think is interesting now is they do have all this evidence to go to trial, but they're saying, oh, we don't need to do the fast trial, because I think that the defense needs to get together all of the evidence that the prosecution has.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 18 pieces of evidence, and then they need time to figure out their story. And in that time, it's something else is going to come into the news and be forefront instead of this.
Yeah,
you know, so it gives them time to just kind of let it all settle down.
It blew my mind when he has a public defender. It's like, it's not good.
Well, speaking of that public defender, this lady, I think her name is Ann Taylor. She was the representative for Zana Kernodle's mother in a drug trial.
Hmm.
And she's been getting a lot of flack for this, for dropping her and taking on Brian's case. But everything I've read, too, that she was told to take over Brian's case because I think she was the most qualified there as far as a public defender to handle this case. She's handled these cases before. And Zana's mother is really, you know, speaking out against this. I mean, he's the one, you know, arrested for killing her daughter, but they're saying how they could pull her off of her case to defend him and him, the one that's murdered her daughter. Y'all have any thoughts on that or anything? Or have y'all heard about
it? I think it's, I did hear about that. I think it's probably a small town and the pickings are slim.
Yeah.
And I would think if she was busted on a drug charge and she had to go to rehab, something like that. And I'm not here to, you know, say anything about her at all, of course, but the attorney has the right to do whatever she wants to do. And I don't know if how she's getting paid or anything. So
I think it was out of her hands. I think the public defender's office.
So are they from the same place?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think there's so many things that we don't know, but
wow. Yeah,
I think it's unfortunate, but that's how the justice system works.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Do you think that Koberger acted alone in this case? You think he's a lone stalker killer, or maybe he had some help? There has been some talk of this.
I feel like he was alone, just based on what I've seen from the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think he was alone. Absolutely. I mean, it's just so brutal, and it seemed like Kaylee, right, was the one that was hurt the worst, targeted more mm-hmm. so. The other ones were kind of in the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was because there was really nothing stolen or...
No, and they had all been out drinking, right?
Yeah.
And pretty much going to bed. It was the middle of the night, so I feel like it was just... I don't want to say easy, but there wasn't as much of a defense from them, right. I guess. So I could see him doing it alone.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think his guy's been going through all this mess his whole life, and then mm-hmm. he's trying to hit up these girls, and then he got rejected, and then through all his studies, and saying he's so smart and he knew all this stuff, I think after the survey, it just makes me think he wanted to feel what it felt like to do this.
Exactly.
And I think he'd been thinking about it for years and years and years, and finally it was time for him to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And he's probably practiced on animals or, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's his first.
Very possible.
Any kill, but, you know, yeah. I don't know if, like you said, yeah, I think he started somewhere else, but I don't think he's very, very good at it.
No. Oh, and one more.
People compare him. Oh, go ahead.
No. Oh, and one more thing about this. You know, Zaina had ordered DoorDash that morning and was on TikTok too, close to the time of the murders. So her and I guess maybe her boyfriend Ethan had to be awake.
Well, it was about 4 or 4:10, I think, when they said she was on TikTok. But, you know, and also, I mean, you say DoorDash doesn't necessarily mean they ordered food.
This is true.
Because when we were in Florida a couple weeks ago, we DoorDashed some bottle of Fireball, because you can get anything off of DoorDash.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it probably, sorry, but I mean, we're at the hotel. We didn't have any cars at the hotel. But, yeah, so not necessarily mean that they ordered food. I mean, probably was, but I mean, what restaurants open at 4 in the morning? I don't know many.
Yeah, they could order anything.
In a college town, it could be different, yeah. I guess, but yeah, so.
That's true.
Hmm. That is true.
I can tell you this. It sure looks cold there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have any more?
So people were... Yeah, I'm going to say one more thing here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've heard people trying to compare him to Ted Bundy, you know, all the serial killers, especially coming from Washington there. But I don't see this as a serial killing, of course. It was a massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, serial killers, he might have had that mentality. And I think he could have become a serial killer easily. But I don't label him as a serial killer. How about you guys?
No. I mean, this was just evidently, if they don't have anything else on him, this was his first kill.
Well, you can go technically, he killed more than 3 people.
Yeah, but I think they define serial killer as there's a cooling off period. Between kills.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think he's a serial killer, no.
You know, kind of like BTK or something.
Right. Yeah. There's a cooling off, right, in a pattern, and which don't you think it could have come to that?
Now, I've seen where Kerry said that he did study under someone who was really into her dad. You know?
Yeah, Ramslin, she was a professor at in Pennsylvania. He studied under, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of scary. I saw her tweet that out. Or, yeah.
That is scary.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Pennsylvania is looking a few at their cases right now, close to the Poconos.
Hell yeah, I would be.
You know they are. They got to be. Any missing persons or unsolved murders or anything, they've got to be looking at that.
They got, I'm sure that DNA machine's wide open.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about, I mean, with technology today, you know, they can even tell if you're plugging your phone in to your charger. They can go back and tell that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do people think they can get away with anything?
I know, not
all
have
the cameras.
If you, got that phone on your hip, if you got that phone on your hip or in your pocket, yeah, you're being tracked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not only that, but in cities, there's cameras at
everywhere, yeah.
Corner.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I don't see how people think they can get away with murder or anything with all this stuff going on.
Yeah, I was listening to a special in this case with a guy from the CIA, and they was talking to him, and his phone, it didn't sound real good, like this quality we have with you guys, and they're asking him about it, and he goes, no, I don't have a smartphone. He said, well, I have one, but it's data plan only, and I use it for either photos, video, or GPS. Otherwise, I use this flip phone I'm talking to right now.
Hmm.
He said, I don't have a smartphone. It's not hooked up to the system.
Wow. That's smart, really?
Yeah. But he's CIA. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's nervous.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's a catch 22 because you can turn off your location and all of that, but I may want to be found one day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it definitely comes in handy, and you're exactly right. I mean, it's like, what's that stuff you got? My kids got on the phone.
Oh, Zoom. Live 360.
Yeah, we have that.
Oh,
and they're like,
oh, yes.
And I'm like, you got to have it on there. I'm paying for your phone. It's going to be on there. And they're like, well, but then one night we couldn't find her, and she was asleep at some friend's house, and we tracked her down. And then another time that she thought she had lost her phone, and it actually had fell down between her sister's seat in the console, and they couldn't see it. So they called home and then looked on there, and when her sister left to go to the store that they were at previously, I said, your phone's in her car because it's moving right now. So it comes in handy that way, but, you know, also you're not getting away with anything.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
When my kids were growing up, and Amanda's 33 now, so not that long ago, but I don't think we had cell phones yet. She was getting on MySpace on dial-up computer. But we did have a key logger back then that you could go, you know, track and see who they were talking to and what they were saying. So there's always been something.
Well, that's some shit.
By the way.
Learning of this.
Oops.
By the way.
Yeah.
These are.
You knew all your passwords.
Two girls. These are things you need to know.
Well, they'll have a conversation after we get done today.
Yeah, yep. There's going to be a follow-up conversation on that one.
Like, what the heck, Ma?
Oh, yeah, we do everything.
Yeah, we knew stuff.
Yep.
We know stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Same with teenagers. They think they can get away with anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not so much.
Well, let's talk about the Delphi murders a little bit, going over there in Indiana.
All right.
Yeah, this is another.
Boy, I was about to cry listening to some of this mess.
Yeah, this here, it's been going on for a little over 4 years now, and, you know, they just made an arrest here back. Well, it was November on this Richard Allen.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to start in March,
it was Halloween.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Halloween.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. October 31st. So, and I haven't heard of much they have on this guy, I think, other than the bullet casing they found at the murder scene. It was an unspent shell. Mm-hmm. And they, I know they searched his home, took a bunch of stuff, and maybe dug up in the yard some things, but... I don't know what all they have on this guy.
You're not telling me.
No.
Didn't they interviewed him originally as a person of interest?
Yeah. I think they had so many. Yeah.
They did.
Well, yeah.
And he admitted.
Yeah. And he confirmed that he was there.
Yeah, he admitted it, yeah.
And the clothes, I think he mentioned the clothes he was wearing at that interview, and they were a match to the footage that was on the phone, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I can only imagine that it's taken them this long to gather all the evidence that they need. And, you know, there was a reward of, I think, $225,000 for a tip.
Yeah.
And tips came in globally.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to say a family member turned them in and that they were tracking them. That's what I think. I mean, because it did take 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And... They did have his voice on from Abby's phone or, yeah.
Yep.
The phone.
Yeah. From one of the girls' phones. And they have not actually even said how these girls died, just that there was a lot of blood loss and then the unspent shell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't
do it. So they haven't released a lot of information.
No.
We don't know if they were sexually assaulted or.
Yeah, we don't know anything about this.
Right.
This is frustrating for us.
Yeah, they said the crime scene was very brutal. Yeah. That's all we know. Yeah. And it was staged. But other than that,
right.
There was nothing else.
Yeah, and possibly.
But they don't even say how it was signatures. Staged.
Right. It said, you know, possibly three different kind of signatures they left. I was like, three.
Yeah. I don't know. This Richard Allen guy. And also, there's another thing, too. They determined the width of the bridge with the height of bridge guy. You know, doing a little math and geometry right. That I never studied in school much, but they determined that the guy walking on the bridge had to be at least 6 feet tall from doing the math. But Richard Allen is a very short man. He's only like, 5'4", 5'5", maybe?
Yeah, he's short, but he's got short legs, but his torso is longer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was the manager at CVS, which, by the way, is my favorite store of all time ever.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the manager, and I don't think that there was any talk at the store like, wow, it could have been him, even though they had posters at every window possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think we even saw a picture of him where the poster was behind him at a party because the posters were everywhere.
Yeah, he was at a bar. Yeah, and it was right behind him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's 5'4".
Creepy. Yeah, he's short.
5'4". Okay. But they said his clothes were always baggy. And then once that they kind of put it together, you know, that picture, it's like, oh, yeah, that does look like him. But he's quiet. He's nice. He's married. You know, there just wasn't anything. But he only lived a mile and a half from the crime scene.
Right. So, yeah. And they said that one of the offshooting creeks goes right by his house. So he sure would know the place very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mean to kill somebody.
But. Yeah.
But why?
I don't know. I listened to an interview with, I think the Murder Sheet podcast covered this quite a bit. And I listened to those guys, and they were interviewing some of his coworkers there from the CVS. And they just said he was just a quiet guy, very polite, you know, helped all the customers, just friendly guy.
So was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, true.
Well, yeah, but. He's, you know, Alan is married, and I don't know whether he has kids or not.
He does have a kid, yeah.
Yep.
He does? Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's 50 now, so he was like, I don't know, 44 or 45 at the time. But there doesn't seem to be any other history.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, nothing.
Yeah, he don't have any criminal record at all.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Well, he did look a little shell-shocked in his mugshot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, how did they even get on his trail? Do we know?
I think it was a tip.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they went to his house, and they found the gun that matched the unspent shell, mm-hmm. However they do that.
Yeah.
And then I think there was something about the clothes. But honestly, I think it was a tip from inside.
Could have been.
Yeah, if it's an unspent shell, if they got it from the casing, it would have to be ejected from the gun. Otherwise, they wouldn't have nothing.
Yeah.
Because when it's ejected, it's a little mark or whatever from that gun marks, right. Marks the shells different ways. So if he would just have dropped one, they would have nothing. But
yeah. It's got
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't know much about, guns and all that, but.
They had the voice recording out there for several years as well. I mean, that was very public, and it was asked that if anyone recognized the voice, then to call in. So it could have been related to the voice recording.
That's right. And the voice said, go down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Down the hill.
But this reported they have a bunch more video that goes along with that they haven't released.
So
that's interesting. It's like 19 more seconds of audio video they have never released on this guy.
Well, it's probably if it's as bad as the first part that they said sounds pretty good, then I think she probably got a little bit of video and probably put it in her pocket, and the rest of it just probably garbled.
Could have been.
Because on what was that when I was listening down the hill podcast I was listening to? They were talking to the guy at the end. He said that it's not a lot. He said, I know everybody thinks that there's just this great massive amount of video and stuff on there, but it's not nearly what you think it is. Of course, they're not going to release it anyway, but they might later during the trial.
Could be.
That's what, next month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to say their evidence is strong enough for them to make this move that they've got them and it's going to come out and we're going to be like, oh.
I think so. Yeah. A lot of people don't think this cat did it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to pose this question again to you ladies. Same question I had for the Idaho murders. Do you think Richard Allen's wife knew anything about this?
I wish we could. I wish we knew more.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say she had suspicions.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. She just disappeared off the map, too. I think she's staying somewhere else with some relatives or something. So.
Right. But you know what's going to happen whenever the tipster comes out? The police department, which is basically government, has to write a check, and that check will be public.
Yeah.
So they'll that know. Will one day come out.
This is true.
That'd be hell, wouldn't it, if his wife told him she said she'd get the check. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say guilty to all of the above for right now.
So. Do you think?
I think his trial is going to be there in Delphi, Indiana, but the jury is coming in from another town.
I think, yeah, they're coming in from somewhere else because they have nowhere to go. I mean, they try to, you know, go 100 miles any direction. There's really nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's not like it. There's nobody that doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think he acted alone? Do you think he had help? Or this was just a one-off for him, too? Kind of like Koberger in the Idaho murders.
Yeah. I'm going to say alone.
Yeah.
You think he was alone?
Alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And probably a one-off. So, one and done.
Mm-hmm. Well, but what's crazy about this whole case is the Keegan Klein aspect of it, the angle, you know, him Snapchatting the girls pretending to be a teenage boy. I think it was Anthony Schatz. And, you know, and he was right there in the area from Peru, Indiana. And then this happens and they've arrested some other guy for this Richard Allen. You know, Keegan Klein is in jail for unrelated crimes. I think child pornography and solicitation of a minor or something. But, you know, he's saying that he didn't have anything to do with this. And he's been interviewed quite a bit on it. But it's just weird that he was the one that was Snapchatting him and then just so close to him. That's just, it's weird. So I don't know.
That is weird. Well, what's your opinion?
I don't know. I've even thought about it. Maybe Keegan Klein and Richard Allen knew each other and they were passing the information along that, you know, maybe to tell Richard Allen, hey, these girls are going to be there that day if you want to go over there.
Sharing photos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very possible.
Oh, gosh. That is possible. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we will soon find out.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And you know what? There's death penalty in Indiana.
Yeah.
It's a death penalty state, so he might start talking.
Yeah. Hey, pull some evidence out. He may enter a guilty plea.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. Start talking. That's the Piketon Massacre. That's what happened. The four family members killed 8 family members of another family, and they wanted off the death penalty, so one started talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get real. They're all tough till that stuff comes out.
Yeah. I can't wait for this Richard Allen to get started, this trial. This is going to be very interesting to see what happens with this and what comes out.
Will it be televised?
We don't know yet. We don't know.
Okay.
I hope it will, but you never know.
But, it needs to be.
Whatever the judge decides. Yeah.
Well, how about the other big trial going on right now?
Oh, the Murdoch.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been listening to this quite extensively. Dale watches me at work sometimes, and that's what I'm listening to here lately through my earbuds. And this is pretty crazy. They've got a lot on him. And I don't know. I think he's guilty. Yeah, I think he's guilty of it.
Guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. He's guilty of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Being severely stupid is the first thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got that kind of money, why in the world?
I had to get a beer last night. I was reading through just to make sure I had all the details of the case, and just the rabbit hole that I went down, I had to stop and just grab a drink so I could continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 5 murders really associated with this whole case, not to mention all the fraud, embezzlement. The only thing that I think is a little bit questionable is that it is a good old boys network there in the Low Country.
Mm-hmm.
And his, of course, you know, he's a lawyer, and his father, and his father before his father. And so his grandfather's picture was hanging up in the courtroom.
Yeah.
And they had to take it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of power. And even though there's so much evidence, and, you know, he's doing all these crocodile tears and all that, I don't know. It worries me a little bit that there could be one little thing. Although, yeah, I think they're chipping away at it with the Snapchat also that just came out.
Yeah, the video with him, his voice on there, and they had 2 testify, I think it was yesterday, that was confirmed. They were Paul's buddies that confirmed it. It was Alex's voice on that Snapchat video, along with Maggie and Paul. And this was just minutes before they were murdered. And he said he was nowhere near the place. He said it was at his mother's, checking on her.
Yep. Yeah, he claimed that when he got to the estate, they were already dead, and that's when he made the 911 call. So that is interesting.
Yeah. Which the 911 call was believable. He had the high-pitched voice and, you know, all of that going for him. But he also knows the law. He knows exactly what to do.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's just like the one we just did.
But what was the motive here? I know he had 2 guns and shot his son, I guess, allegedly, in the chest. And then son was down and shot him again to where the brain detached from his head.
Blew his brain out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? Why?
How in the hell can you do that?
I don't know. My theory is that, you know, Maggie, his wife, was working. She worked part-time there at the law office and helping with bookkeeping and stuff. And I think she may have learned of his embezzlement and stuff and was maybe threatening to turn him in. That's my theory. I don't know, but I think she knew more than what was going on or what she told anybody, and she confronted him about it. Because, I mean, they weren't living together. She was living at the house at Edisto Beach, and he was staying at the hunting lodge.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But everybody said they had a very happy and loving marriage, but I think they were troubles going on. And they weren't telling about. And they're trying to throw Paul under the bus, telling that he was careless with his guns. He would just leave them laying around everywhere, you know, and leave one at the dog kennels, leave them at his buddy's house and in a truck or wherever. I think they're trying to use that angle of the defense to say that, you know, he was careless and maybe somebody come up and got a gun and shot him and Maggie. But
how old was Paul?
22, I think. Yeah, 22.
Yeah. Now, the other son is right behind him, right? Supporting him?
Yeah. He's
believing
been,
him?
Yeah, he's been there in the courtroom every day, along with Alex's brother, John Marvin. He's been there, too.
Right. Yeah.
So, which son was it that killed the girl in the boat wreck?
That would be Paul, the one that got murdered. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Mallory Beach.
Yeah, Mallory Beach. That was in 2019, I believe, where Paul was allegedly drunkenly driving the boat and crashed it. And they found Mallory, I believe, 8 days after they started searching for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, right, not only Mallory, but also their I guess she didn't live in, but their housekeeper who
raised Gloria?
Gloria Satterfield.
Right? Yeah. Helping raise the children. And then what about the guy that was,
like, a heat and air guy or something?
Run over, but not really. That was killed off on the road.
Stephen Smith.
19 years old. Yes.
Yeah, Stephen Smith. Yeah. Yeah, that, it's just so many deaths and murders related to this family.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're the common denominator in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes down to money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've determined, I think he embezzled a little over $10 million from PMD, the law firm that he was a part of. So, yeah, that'll make people do crazy things,
I guess.
But they also said that he had an opioid addiction for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I believe he checked himself into rehab before the arrests started happening, because I believe he was arrested twice. The first time for the money and embezzling and all kinds of charges related to the finances. And then he was also arrested for plotting his own suicide.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He had somebody shoot him. But not kill him, yes.
Yeah, Cousin right. Eddie. He said...
Cousin Eddie.
Cousin Eddie shot him in the head.
Shooter's full, bam.
Yeah.
Lord.
So, yeah, well, he's...
Having an opioid addiction doesn't make you a murderer, though.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
No, but all the embezzlement and stuff, trying to cover your tracks, opening fake accounts to hide the money.
If these people are super rich already, why? That's what blows my mind.
Exactly.
If you're already super rich, why do you have to steal from yourself?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's beyond narcissism. I don't know. We're going to cover this once it's all said and done.
Yeah. This is going to be a long story. I felt like I was reading season 5 of Ozark.
Ooh, wow.
I don't know if you all watch that
show. Yeah.
It is an amazing show, but I was like, this is the plot for season 5 right here.
Mm-hmm. That's just crazy. Yeah, this is where you couldn't even make this up, though.
Exactly. I mean,
True life is way more involved in, like you said, going down the rabbit hole than any fiction.
Mm-hmm. But it's all coming out in a trial. So hopefully they can find us out. What happened to him?
Yeah.
And they can, because I think he did it. I think he murdered Paul and Maggie. I mean, it's just,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. He did. Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty. Well, I was reading an article yesterday. I guess there's a piece of evidence that witnesses have testified that Alex had a customized AR-15 style rifle made just for him. And this type of gun is compatible with the bullets used to kill Maggie and aligns with the evidence that Murdoch used such a rifle to kill her.
It was a blackout.
That was very interesting.
A blackout rifle.
Yes.
It's like $4,500. Yeah.
So why would he be that damn stupid?
I know.
If you have a custom gun, don't use it.
Yeah.
That is a pretty damning piece of evidence right there.
But again, the Good Old Boys Network, and I'll make it look like somebody stole this gun and did it.
Yeah, true.
I can get away with this. I'm above the law.
Well, they said everybody in town was scared of them. They didn't want to mess with the Murdochs. That they would, if you crossed them, they would do something to have you put in jail or have you arrested. That's how,
a lot of power,
powerful man. They were, yeah. This one little area.
Our money. We'll see if sex is involved at all. I guess I haven't heard any. I haven't heard anything on that avenue.
Yeah, I'll be.
Have you guys?
I'll be interested to see if maybe a mistress comes out later on. Yeah, he was having an affair. Yeah.
He's not. He's not a looker, so it must have been money driven. That's the case.
Well, I think the son is really a victim here as well, because he will have lost his whole immediate family.
He's by himself.
Done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll have to change his name and move somewhere else, possibly. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Very possible.
Have you guys seen there is a 3-part docuseries coming out on Netflix on February 22nd regarding the Murdoch murders?
No, I haven't.
Hmm.
Yep. It's coming out soon. It's called Murdoch Murders, A Southern Scandal.
Wow.
Great.
Yes. So that will be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Netflix. But it won't be completed.
Well, right. So, right. Yeah, this trial seems like it's going to go on for quite a while.
Well, that's why they can do a 2-parter or a 3-parter. Make money off of it too. Yeah. It's win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you guys watch Dahmer?
Yes. Yes.
That was so good.
Yeah.
I thought it was good, and I thought they were okay with the victims.
Yeah.
I learned a lot I didn't already know.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the acting, to me, the acting was amazing.
Yeah, that guy was amazing. Awesome.
Oh, Evan Peters is one of the best.
He's always been great in American Horror Story, but dude, he knocked out of the park in this dude.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He won an award and everything. Now, I haven't been able to watch Casey Anthony yet, though.
Yeah, you need to watch Casey Anthony.
I hadn't watched it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's. Ugh. Yeah, she's.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, you need to watch it, but yeah, she's guilty too.
You think?
Okay.
You think
she is?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. Everyone is guilty. Say, guilty.
Yeah, I always just go, I don't really think so.
No, this little docuseries
just stirred up.
She was trying to throw her dad under the bus the whole time.
No, he's the one who did it.
Yeah, that's what she was doing.
Yeah, he's the one who put the gas in there. Come on, man.
Yep. Drowned in the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. That's him.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she was throwing her.
Took her over to Zanny's house.
Zanny. Xanax is. Yep.
Oh, well. We have one more case we want to talk about. It's actually not even a case yet. If you guys don't have anything else to add to Murdoch, we'll have to revisit that one for sure.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But since it is Missing Person Day, and thank you guys for letting me know that early this morning, I saw, saw that.
Well, yeah. Donnie's on top of details. I'm going to give you that.
Well, I hope you made a post on a missing person.
I did.
Okay, cool.
That the one that I'm going to talk about right now.
All right, then.
Bring it on.
Okay. So where we are here close to Charlotte, there is a missing 11-year-old girl. Her name is Madalena Kojakahari. It's a hard name to pronounce.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
She's missing from a neighborhood right down the street from us. It's right off of I-77. It's a very nice neighborhood around Lake Norman. She's been missing since November 21st. And the last footage was her getting off the school bus because, you know, there are cameras on the school bus at her home. So her parents did not report her missing. And then there was the whole Thanksgiving break. She didn't come back to school. And I think you can be missing for 10 days. And then the resource officer, they called. They went to the house to visit. Her mother said, she's not here, but I'll bring her in. So they made an appointment. And the mother came into the school and did not bring the girl. So that's when the school called to make a missing report 3 weeks later. So now this little girl's been missing 3 weeks. And just a little background, her mom, Diana, I believe is 37. And then it's her stepdad, Christopher, who's 60. So
wow.
Diana, and he has an excellent job here at Ingersoll Rand. Okay. It's all good. Diana came from Moldova, which is in between Romania and Ukraine. And I guess she left with Madalena and left the father. She had been on an international dating site, and it kind of sounds like, you know, buy your bride. And that's what Christopher did. And she came here, and she's a little bit of a whack job. I will say that she's kind of out there.
I didn't know she was part of a cult.
Yes.
That was something that, yes.
And we don't even know if they practiced, you know, celebrating Thanksgiving since they were from a different country.
Right.
So, you know,
just another day at the office.
Why weren't they together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you would think the family would be together on Thanksgiving, but you know, we can let that one go. In North Carolina, there's a law that if you don't report your child missing, it's a felony. You're going to jail. And they did. Neither one are talking. The FBI, SBI, police have done a fantastic job as well, and they are keeping a lot of things under their cuff. They're both in jail. They both pled not guilty to anything. They went and searched their house. They have warrants, which some are still sealed, and they got, you know, all the evidence they could. They even dug up around the backyard a little bit because there had been a fire back there, the neighbors said.
Search the lake, dredge the lake, nothing. And they can usually find somebody in that lake pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no sign of her. The day after she was missing, Dad got in his car and went to Michigan. I think there's some family up there. And then
he said he was going to go grab some things from his home that he has in Michigan. Mm-hmm. What those things were, I don't know.
Hmm.
And left his wife at home. And she said, oh, I thought he took Madalena with him. And he said, no, I thought you had her. And their phones show there's no contact between them. Or at least they said there was no texting. Like, oh, is she with you? No, is she with you? So it's just a really bad story that's going on here. And I don't think that there's going to be a happy outcome.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Not. Even if it's somehow she was sold to a sex ring or something like that. That's kind of what some allegations have been. But
wow.
I think he's violent. I don't think it's looking good. It's been over 3 months. The temperatures have dipped very low. If she was some kind of runaway. Her pictures are absolutely everywhere. And this is an affluent area. People are looking. There were vigils. People were taking food to the FBI agents and water, you know, trying to help any way they could. And also she was quiet, I guess, of course, a little bit reserved,
mm-hmm.
being from another country. Probably. Yep.
There was one thing. She wore a heavy jacket to school every day and she refused to take it off, which, I mean, may not say anything, but it may also say that she was being abused at home. That we don't know. But it's just a very sad situation all the way around. And on our end, we believe that both parents know something. So hopefully that will come out soon. How much have you guys heard about this case at all?
Yeah, I've heard about it, but you just filled in a lot of holes that I didn't know. The one question I have is, what are the parents in jail for, just not reporting a child missing, or they have other charges on them? Just that?
Yeah, it's Cayley's law, actually. If you didn't know.
Just that. And I don't think every state has that law.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we do.
Yeah, not every state, but it's a Cayley's law from Case Anthony's. That's where it came from, yeah. Makes it a felony for a parent or a caregiver not to report a child missing to law enforcement within 24 hours.
Okay.
Look at you being on.
Good. I'm glad we're information sharing here.
Yeah.
I think his bail is $200,000 and hers, the mom, is $250,000, and they could make bail. And if they do, they will have to surrender passports, wear an ankle bracelet,
mm-hmm.
And have no contact with each other. So they could possibly get out. I would say more him than her.
Man, this sounds a lot like Zara Baker, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But again,
what's the motive? Why? She's just this beautiful 11-year-old girl in this great area, given an opportunity for a life in America.
Yeah. Very nice neighborhood from everything I've seen online and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They had to be some stuff going on in the home that we're not aware of.
Absolutely. Yes. And the cult thing kind of scares me a little bit too. The Kundalini cult.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I didn't know anything about that until you shared that information.
Well, I'm not sure. I just know, you know, the mom had videos on Facebook talking about violence and it's wrong, and
mm-hmm.
She just seems like a real spiritual guru-y kind of oddball, I guess, but not violence. The only evidence they also have is she has a green Prius, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what mountain did she go to? She had been seen driving to a mountain. We'll have to get that exact mountain for you. And she had Madalena with her one time. This is just from eyewitness. And then left without Madalena. There's been a lot of tips, none that are concrete. But somebody had seen Madalena there a while ago. It's like she was scouting out a place to...
Do something.
Right. I don't know what that is. And we'll put some pictures up of the car. If anybody had seen it during that Thanksgiving time, you know, maybe she took her there and did something with her. the family also wrote a letter. Actually, it was very nice. You know, we miss her. We want her back, blah, blah, blah. And it was actually from his family.
Hmm.
So.
What are people saying around town there, some of the locals? What are they saying? They have any theories?
The only thing I have seen is it's not going to be a good outcome. Other than that, there was some mention about a fire happening in the backyard. I think there were some neighbors that mentioned that, so the fire was a big thing. Other than that, I don't think there's been much. And I know a lot of residents here wanted to help with search parties and do anything they could, but it seems like that's all just very hush hush right now. Like, I don't think there are any public search parties happening around here. It's just
right.
We don't have a lot to go off of. Mm-hmm.
The police chief gets on actually the news and gives an update from time to time, but also saying, you know, we've got this. We don't need anybody getting their nose in this as well. So we just keep an eye out. And he looks so evil in his picture. I don't know.
Who, the dad? The stepdad?
He does.
Oh, yeah. The dad?
The stepdad.
Mm.
No, that's a female police chief.
About
no,
the police
she's
chief.
Awesome.
I was like, don't say that.
Yeah, this sounds just like a Zora Baker
mm-hmm.
case.
Said that they were looking for him. They had been in Madison County. Mm-hmm. In the Prius, yeah.
Hmm.
Where's Madison yeah. County, Donnie?
It's up in the mountains.
Duh.
Yeah.
You know this stuff.
And there's just nothing.
Just they're not talking.
Nothing.
Nothing to go off of mm-hmm. as far as we know.
As far as we know. Right.
What's
and
last one?
They're not talking, and they've unsealed a few of these warrants, but that didn't really give much except, you know, there were 12 bags taken from the house, and just they're getting phone records and digging up the backyard. So
They need to keep their ass in jail and keep
Absolutely.
Keep digging at them to try to get some information out of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they had plenty of time between her going missing and the police being notified to
do a lot, yeah.
cover up anything they needed to
get their story
yeah.
straight.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
And again, right off the highway, anybody, you know, could. Off 77, anybody could grab anybody and get on the highway and go, but I'm pretty sure you would report somebody missing within 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Especially if you're their parents.
Absolutely. Crazy.
So again, 11-year-old Madalena Kojahari.
I think that's how you pronounce her name. You done better than I could.
Yeah.
Kojahari.
Kojahari.
I think I'm actually adding a syllable there.
Yeah, that Kojahari. Sounds like you.
Yeah. I make up my own words, yeah. by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you ought to hear our podcast. We do a lot of editing after we make up our own words.
Especially me.
We had one, we did the Hillside Strangler, and we had to say non-secretor, and we had to edit that at least 5 times
least.
To say yeah. it correctly.
I couldn't get it.
Yeah, that was yeah. funny. Yeah, that was funny.
We do that too.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll have words and stuff that we're looking at and trying to, and they'll get tickled at me trying to say, what the hell are you saying over here?
And it'll take him 6 more times to finally get it, and I'm just in the floor by then. He's like, you just love this shit, don't you?
I know. And then you can't look at each other. You're trying to get through
yeah.
it. It's like,
yeah.
This isn't funny. Yeah.
I think maybe we can make this an ongoing thing if you guys want. We'll every now and again get together and do this because I see we have a pretty good time here at Chemistry as well and had a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do
Sounds
it.
Good.
Let's plan on it. Okay.
Well, all right, ladies, we're going to get out of
all
here.
Right.
We appreciate you being on the show and
thanks so much.
Taking some time to talk about some cases going on.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, dude, again, Dale, we want to thank InMesh for being on the show. Them ladies are great. They got a lot of good insight on some cases. They got a really good podcast they're putting out, and please check them out.
Check them out.
Give them some love and support.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. I'm glad we did that, and it was a blast.
Yep. All right, dude, we're going to get out of here, man.
Well, let's roll.
We want everyone to be safe. Please be careful and always be aware of your surroundings.
Because the next episode could be about... you.
This is the Crack House Chronicles.